Hey, what's up? This is your homegirl, Complex Angel, and welcome back to another episode of Self Love is My Rehab, where we are all tired of abuse being our addiction. I'm about to get my partner in crime, DC, on the line so we can start the show. So tune in and love yourself. Yo, DC, what's going on?
Yo, what's poppin'?
Nothing much. Yeah, it's been a crazy week. So I'm going to just ask you,
Oh, yeah.
what was the
How was
vibe of the
life?
week for you? Man, I'm feeling like a lot of different emotions, I woke up yesterday just thinking about, like, how time is repeating itself. Like, these are the times that my mama was telling me that she lived through. And I always knew that racism didn't disappear because when you go into certain areas of Michigan, like Novi and Livonia, you know, the white people out there, you know, they didn't hide that we were not welcome in their parts of the neighborhoods. And so these riots, these deaths, it's like just really breaking my heart, really breaking my heart.
No, yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, honestly, I ain't even going to hold you up. That's kind of been the vibe all this week is, you know, like you said, like the whole racism thing, like it never disappeared. But, you know, I think Will Smith said it best, like, you know, what was that quote? Help me out. Where it was like, it never, like
racism
never ended.
It never, it just evolved.
Yeah,
it just
it's just getting filmed or whatever. Because, like, if you look at it, like, all
yeah,
this, you know,
yeah.
this police brutality and everything like that, like, it's not even, it's going beyond just, like, you know, physically assaulting, you know, a black person. Now we just killing, now they just killing on camera. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, being a black person just in general, like, it's crazy. Yeah. it's a speechless thing, but, you know, we all feel it emotionally. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we have tons of speakers out there that can, you know, basically express, you know what I'm saying, the hurt, you know, verbally. But, you know, a lot of us are definitely feeling it, you know, emotionally. Not to steer away from it, but we go keep it light today because, I mean, that's an emotional topic to touch on. So,
right.
I mean, we'll keep it light. But yeah, that was the vibe. I mean, that's really been the vibe of the week. I mean, besides this, you know, bipolar ass weather. But I ain't gonna complain, honestly, because like at night it get cool, and that's what I be fucking with.
Yes.
Like I fuck with cool air at night.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Today,
like I sleep comfortable in that.
No, today I went to South Philly to go pick up an order of candles and some shea butter. Shout out to Leo Sense. Shout out to you, Sheena. And it was like really nice. Like it was like 72 degrees. So it was warm to where you didn't have to wear a coat, but you got a nice breeze. And I'm like, this is the type of weather that
right.
I like all year round. So yeah. But
yes, that was pretty
well,
good.
Well, before we get into the topic, I'm going to just go into our recap of last week. We had Joy Waller on last week talking about how the body can show signs of trauma in it before we ever express it out of our mouths. She talked about that when you see a child who is doing good in school, but then their grades start to slip or, you know, they're so angry, instead of punishing them, really try to see what's going on with that child because, honestly, whatever type of attention kids can get, they're going to go after it. You get what I'm saying? Like, they're going to, if that's the type of attention that they're going to crave, they're going to continue to be bad to get that attention because they felt like when they were doing good, it wasn't good enough. That was a good ass topic last week. Really
good.
Absolutely. So,
appreciate you for
I'm going to slide it over to you, DC. What's the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic this week?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic is basically talking about our movies back in the day. Now, we all have that moment where, you know, we watch movies as a kid and pretty much don't know what the hell is going on or, you know, the whole meaning of the, you know, the whole movie or whatnot. We just go scene by scene with it and we just, you know, automatically just rule whether it's a favorite movie or not, versus watching it, you know, when we get older and it's like, huh, never really noticed this type of shit. So,
yes.
So what we gonna do today is we are going to, me and Complex, we each have movies that we're gonna throw out there, and we set aside these personal movies, just based on our preferences on what, you know, we basically saw growing up versus now, and, you know, whether it, you know, plays a factor in today's life or not. So, Complex, I'm going to go ahead and let you shoot the shits first. Go ahead and drop your first movie.
Okay, all right. My first movie is, I wanted to start off with Eve by You. It came out in 1997. Yes, and it was, the setting took place in Louisiana, and it was from the daughter's perspective, the youngest daughter's perspective. She talked about how she killed her dad at 10 years old. Samuel Jackson played as her father. Megan Good, you know, played as her older sister, and I think she had her real brother in life. I don't know if it was Jussie Smollett, but it was one of her brothers that played her younger brother. But they lived in Louisiana, a really wealthy family to be, you know, black. They lived by the swamps, but Samuel Jackson's character, I do not remember his name, do not shoot me, guys. He couldn't keep it in his pants, okay? He could not keep it in his pants. He was sleeping with this lady named Hattie Mae that everybody knew. She was a Jezebel, and she was in her own relationship, but her husband was a teacher that worked over the track, so he was always on the road going back and forth to work, so it was oblivious to him. But basically, make a long story short, the daughter kind of gave him hints, like, yeah, my dad's sleeping with your wife, you know, like I mean, like a 10-year-old is crazy, but yeah, he would have lost this nigga, you know what I'm saying? So, but, So the first question we asked was, how did this movie relate to me growing up? Honestly, as a child, it related to me because it was from the girl, the daughter's perspective. Like, you know, back then I didn't realize it, but it's like it showed from like a vulnerable perspective, and it showed that, you know, as a child, like she was, you know, she was seen, but she made herself be heard too. You get what I'm saying? Like, she made herself be heard.
Right.
Like, it was a time where, like, they had to stay in the house because something was going on. And she was like, no, F that. I want to go outside. So she was like, if I start cussing, what do parents say when you get on your nerves? Take your ass outside. So she was in the house, like, just acting a fool. But it was a good, good movie. Good, good movie.
Yeah, I works with that shit.
And the second question, do I still get the same message from the movie that I did back then? Looking at it now, because I did just watch it, I had to watch it to, for this episode, I get a different perspective. Megan Good's character, I thought that back then that her dad did try to make a move on her, but I looked at it like this. Megan Good had Oedipus complex. I don't know. I can't pronounce my words sometimes. Okay, y'all, my tongue gets in the way. I don't fucking know. But Oedipus complex. Yeah, where she saw her dad as her, you know, as her lover. You know, she resented her mom. She felt like, you know, dad's out here cheating and everything, and you can't keep him at home. So she felt like she should step up to the plate and do that. And yeah,
right.
So you know, like I understand stuff a little bit different now that I'm older, like you said. So, well, let's go to you. That's my first movie.
For sure, for sure. Good start, good start. my first movie was, I'm gonna go with Dennis the Menace.
Okay.
Now I know this might be childish still for this to be my first damn movie, but look, listen. But Dennis the Menace to me back then was just a overly energetic kid who basically had like the utmost respect and love for his neighbor type of shit. You know what I'm saying? But you had to look at it like,
His neighbor was old as hell, Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson was probably like maybe like a good between 65 and 75 years old, maybe even more.
Right.
But yeah, the movie was basically about, you know, about his overactive energy and, you know, his troublemaking and stuff like that. Like he was a menace, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And because his parents had to leave town for work and shit like that, George and Martha basically had to, well, they were asked to watch him kind of deal. And George mm-hmm. He was that grumpy ass old man, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got kids, so I ain't about to watch no damn kids type of shit. You know what I'm saying?
No, I can't.
So like he wasn't like a yes man, but like he stood his ground on, you know, watching him, but like, you know, the wife gets the last word type of shit. Cause she had a soft spot for Dennis, cause she understood him, you know, basically she understood him beyond like his characteristics as, you know, your typical child that be into shit. So a burglar ends up just streaming through the town or whatever, who is Christopher Lloyd. That's another one of my favorite actors. He played Uncle Fester in the Addams Family. Funny as shit. Love that guy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he breaks in and, you know, he steals some belongings out of George and Martha's house. And Dennis sees it and he got noticed, and long story short, he got caught, and it hit the town real hard because it was like the kid went missing type of shit. So like, It woke George up to be like, okay, damn, like, because, hold on, let me backtrack. Because the last thing that George said to Dennis was pretty upsetting to a kid. Like, that nigga said he ain't want to know you no more type of shit. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, he said, like, some really fucked up shit before he actually got kidnapped and Persoon ran away at the same time, too.
Yeah.
And once that happened, that's when he felt like, you know, like, damn, like, the shit I said, you know, was a little fucked up. Now that this kid is, you know, he's disappeared, like, ain't no telling what done happened to him type of shit. So he made it upon himself to go and, you know, search for him and yada, yada, yada. And basically what I took out of it was that age. Like, I was just like, okay, like, nigga, like, I'm a kid, like, let me be a kid type of shit. Like, you don't have to be, you know, like, so uptight about it. But now looking at it, when I grew up, Dennis was a pain in the ass. I couldn't stand that nigga down. He's still kind of funny, though. Like, but, like, I understood, like, how a person can really just be smothering, but it takes something. It takes a tragic situation to kind of happen for you to kind of be like, okay, maybe my approach towards this person wasn't necessary, life too short type of shit. Let me try to make amends with that. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I basically got from that movie. If I answer both of those questions, which I feel like I may have. Okay. All right, cool.
You did. I'm going to have to change the title. I really thought we was coming at this from Black classic movies, but that was definitely a damn good movie back in the day. No, it's fine. I could just change the title. My mama used to always tell me, like, you see how the kidnapped Dennis and brought his ass back? So, yeah, she said that would
you
be me because I talk so much. Dennis, no, though, he was bad. When you put paint in somebody's fucking burger or barbecue and then you fuck their dentures up, dog?
I think they had pork chops. I think they had pork chops or something, and this nigga had the nerve to try to, like, soak it up with the vacuum cleaner. No, that shit was so funny. Like, just shot in the air and just, like...
He was bad at shit, dog.
I swear, because, like I said, looking at it now growing up, like, I'd be damned if I'm George and, like, I got a little nigga next door to me doing shit like that, I'm going to kill him. I swear.
No, but when... He fucked his dentures up, dog.
Dog, when he had the two bunny teeth in the front, killed me, dog. I swear, killed me. Like,
hey, but no, you can actually consider that a Black classic movie, because that was in my house too. So shoot, that was
right.
Up, like,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
you can
take a movie like that and, like, you know, and it'd be relative to a Black household.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? The only difference
too.
Is
shit.
The only difference, yeah, exactly. The only difference is Dennis would have got his ass whooped a long time ago. his parents was too damn soft, which is why he acted the way he acted. You know what I'm saying? Like, what little damn kid wakes up in the morning just to go over to the next door neighbor house and shoot some shit down their mouth with a slingshot?
Oh, yeah, the
like,
who gets
up and thinks that? Like, let me go shoot some shit down this nigga's throat real quick.
Yeah, true.
That should be true.
Okay. No, he can come to the cookout. Dennis can come to the cookout. All right. So, my next one is Holiday Heart. Oh, God, listen. It was hard for some people to see Ving Rhames, you know, go from playing Baby Boy to Holiday Heart, but I loved him in there. It came out 2000. It was based in Chicago. Shout out to Midwest. Basically, Alfrey Woodard, she played as a black single mom who was, you know, in recovery from overcoming addiction, but she was still involved with the guy who was on drugs. But she thought that if she could love him, you know, still be a mom to her child and also focus on her book, everything would be okay. But it's like every time he would get high, it's like she was trying to make him clean too. So basically she threw his stuff down the toilet. You know, crackheads don't like that. He got mad, started whooping on her. The girl runs out to the street. Ving Rhames, you know, he was just getting done. He was a drag queen in the movie. He was just getting done from one of his shows, but his car broke down. So he basically happened to be in the right place at the right time. And, you know, she came out there and said, please, he's beating up on my mom. You know, basically Holiday, he grew a heart. Moved them in because, you know, he was a landlord. He moved them into his apartment that he was renting across the hall. Everything was good. And then, you know, basically Wanda, that was Afri Wood's name. I remember her character. She met another guy who was selling drugs but wasn't on it, relapsed, and basically told Holiday, take care of my daughter and everything. And, you know, that basically messed the daughter up. She started just going downhill. Like, it was one time where Holiday was trying to move them out the neighborhood, like, into a better place, and she snuck a boy in and was, like, you know, like trying to do some stuff. And, you know, of course, Holiday caught her before anything went down. He was such a hood-ass drag queen. Like, I loved him in this movie. Like, you know, I'm so serious because this was one of those movies where, and even Dustin Ross on Friendzone said it. He said he hates how they always portray gay men to be these very flamboyant people. Like, they never want to show, they always identify them with very girly, very weak. Holiday Heart could whoop your ass. He was a Christian, you know what I'm saying? And he had such a good heart, you know? So it's like, basically, he, you know, threw him out and everything. And, like, you know, this was the most powerful moment where he took the girl into the bathroom and said, look in the mirror, you're not your mom. And I remember, like, she broke the mirror and just started crying. And I felt that back then because, you know, my mom was on drugs growing up. And my grandma was, like, the Holiday Heart that kind of took us in and stuff. But looking at it today, I identify with it because it's still painful. You get what I'm saying? Like, just to think that you don't want to turn out like your mom. Because I used to say that, I don't want to turn out like my mom. But I still went through some of the same things that she went through. But I had to go through it to understand her as a person. And, like, I don't know, I just, like, really love that movie. Her mom ended up passing and everything, but Holiday took her in, and the guy that was selling the drugs that, you know, caused Wanda to relapse, he was still a good father figure to her. So it's like him and Holiday both stepped up to make sure that since Wanda was gone, they was going to do that whole village to make sure that her daughter, you know what I'm saying, continued on in life. It was such a good movie. Such a good movie.
Yeah, that's what's up. Now, I hope the black community don't shoot me down on this, but I've never watched Holiday Heart before. So,
no, that's
you
okay.
Telling me that this is a good insight on
yeah.
That.
Mm-hmm.
From what it sounds like it's a good movie. I mean, like, I always talk about Ben Reins. Ben Reins was, he's a good actor for sure. I mean, shit, like, one of the movies that I loved him in, besides Baby Boy, was, even though he had, like, a short part in this movie, but, I remember him all the way back to People Under the Stairs. Like,
oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he went far back, you know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
Ben Reigns is definitely he's definitely an OG. But yes. My next movie, drum roll please. My next movie is Cop and a Half. Cop and a Half, this was a movie that came out in 93. So this was in my prime of basically getting to know, you know, movies and stuff like that. But it was basically about this young kid named Devin Butler, who was basically obsessed over television cop shows and his aspirations to be an officer of the law. Mm-hmm. And he basically witnessed a murder committed by a gang led by the gang boss or whatever. And Devin ended up refusing to testify unless he was offered a chance to be a policeman. So to basically humor him, so to speak, Devin was paired up with this cop who was basically like, you know, I guess Fury, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But he was paired up with him to basically pursue the killers or whatever. And this movie, like, I never really knew the meaning behind it as such. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, the only thing that amused me about it was just the fact that, you know, this kid, he had like, you know, like I said, dreams and aspirations of basically being an officer. You know what I'm saying? It was almost like a career day. Like, what you want to be when you grow up? Motherfucker, I want to be a cop.
Right.
And I mean, that's the fullest, goddammit. Like, and I remember... I remember he had pretty much basically everything. Like he had the handcuffs that were pretty much authentic as hell. Like before he even got like the actual police handcuffs, like he had that shit. Like he had binoculars, you know what I'm saying? Like he had a notepad. He had a toy gun and everything like that. Like he really thought that he was an officer type of thing.
Right.
But the relationship between him and the cop was something that I kind of look at now today because at first, like the cop, he wasn't really all for, you know, he was like one of them hothead cops. So, you know, like the humor behind it was like, okay, let's get him a kid to kind of roam around with, you know what I'm saying? Just to calm his damn nerves down because, you know, like, you know, he a hothead type of cop. So through the whole process, they pretty much gained this relationship. And Devin started to look at the cop as a father because he admired how he operated as a cop. You know what I'm saying? So,
okay.
Yeah, so it went beyond that to actually looking at him as a father figure. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, not only are we doing, like, some investigation type of shit, but I'm actually spending some QT time with you. And it's like, you know, you're kind of looking like a father figure to me because it's like, you give a damn, but then you don't. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like you care enough to try to, you know, keep me out of harm's way. But it's like, when I'm getting on your nerves, you definitely let me know when I'm getting on your damn nerves. But, like, I look at it differently now, you know, like I said, for those exact reasons. And plus, like, when I look at the kid's character, like, you know, he was so into what his career was at such an early age to where, like, he was basically an opportunist. Like, he found like a clever way to kind of like pretty much get in the force without even having to fucking go to eighth grade yet type of shit. Like, he was able to have that experience, you know what I'm saying? Because I think he was like an elementary kid. Like, he probably wouldn't know more than like sixth grade, maybe seventh grade at the most, you know what I'm saying? And like he basically strived for that, you know what I'm saying? And that was something that I admired, you know what I'm saying? Looking at it growing up, you know, as an adult type of thing, you know, because it's like, age doesn't have a number on it to know what you want to be able to, you know, attack those goals at an early age. Like, that shit was actually awesome to me. Like, I fucked with that. So shout out to Devin
That's
Bucker.
Shout out. All right. My next one is, drum roll please. Well, you already know. Why I would not be me if I did not dedicate my next one to Detroit. The Temptations movie came out in 1998.
Oh.
What? What's wrong? You had
I wanted to hit that. I wanted to hit that one phrase real quick. Y'all ain't nothing without David Ruffin.
Yes. Yo, you ungrateful son of a bitches. I felt that part. I remember the first time I seen it. I didn't see it, honestly, until I was in middle school. My substitute at the time was like, y'all, we going to watch The Temptations today. And me and my old friend Melanie back in the day, she thought that it was like New Edition. And, you know, we thought David Ruffin was Bobby Brown, but it was like, nah, this is The Temptations. But it's crazy. Every week got a David Ruffin, every group. But how it related to me back then when I was growing up, I loved Motown growing up. I would fall asleep to it. I listened to The Supremes. I listened to The Temptations. Like, you know, Stevie Wonder. I really loved it. And looking at that movie today, it's like Detroit is so different. Don't get me wrong. Dan Gilbert is trying to bring it back with Quicken Loans and buying up the properties. Downtown looks different, but come on now. Let's just be honest. We ain't going to go into that. But anyways, it's just not the same. Like, you go over to the Motown Museum and, like, it's just, you know, it's just like a memory now. I wish that this was still going on, that we can have Motown modern today. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't went from Motor City. It didn't went from Motown to Motor City to Murder City. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. It's just like, but that's still a classic movie, though, honestly.
Hell yeah, for sure, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see where I want to go with this one. Okay, so my next one is Liar Liar. If anybody don't know what Liar Liar is, this is a damn black film. Any Jim Carrey movie is a black
Jim
film.
Jim Carrey,
sorry.
Yes, Jim Carrey is with us. I'm sorry, shoot.
Yeah, he with the shits, I'm sorry. Like, mm-hmm. He with the shit. But Liar Liar, you know what I'm saying, for people who may not know, which I don't know how you don't know, but for people who may not know, Liar Liar was basically, you know, about a lawyer who basically took advantage of dishonesty, you know what I'm saying, because in a sense, you know, it kind of wins in court, you know what I'm saying. That's almost damn near the motto for almost every lawyer, you know what I'm saying. A good lie will get you far, for the most part. But it's a gift within a curse. Honestly, I wouldn't even say it's a gift. It's 100% a curse. You just get lucky sometimes when your lie actually go through the process, and it's been confirmed type of shit. But it got to the point where, like, he took advantage of it so much to where it started to affect his home. You know what I'm saying? Like, it basically, he was diminishing his relationship with his son with not the intentions to do so, but it was just, he took his work home with him. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people can relate to that, like, especially like when they're, you know, when they're majoring into something in college, you know what I'm saying? Like, you take that shit home with you, you know what I'm saying? Like, with anything, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, whether it's conversation or it's actual actions behind it. But his son fucked him up, though, because on his birthday, he made a wish that his dad couldn't tell a lie no more. You know what I'm saying? Because he was making promises that he couldn't keep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So his son got tired of it. So on that birthday,
I'm sick of your shit.
He made that wish. And I remember that scene exactly, because he was because Jim Carrey was getting busy with his partner or whatever in the law firm.
Oh, Jesus.
And
oh, God.
His son Max made a wish that he couldn't tell a lie. And the scene cut back to Jim Carrey and his partner. And she was like, after they had sex, she was like, was it good for you? This motherfucker said, I had better, and was shocked as fuck when he said that shit. Like, that didn't mean to come out. Like, I swear, ever since, like, once the seal was broken, like, that movie was as funny as shit the whole rest of the way through. But it didn't really have no relation to me. It was just a simple fact that it was just a Jim Carrey film, and, like, I am just, like, a diehard Jim Carrey fan. But looking at it now, like, the message behind that movie,
it seems light, but it's very powerful. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like when you are so capable of lying, you never know how much it affects, you know, your loved ones. You know what I'm saying? You just never know how it affects your loved ones. And when you take the time to actually tell the truth about some shit, it will set you free. As he said in the movie, "And the truth shall set you free." Real shit though. Like, you know, like it kind of inspired me to tell the truth about shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, regardless of what the situation may be, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you make yourself feel more obligated to tell the truth, you will prevent yourself from doing dumb shit for you to lie about.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I kind of looked at it. You know what I'm saying? Right. But shout out to Jim Carrey. He a real one. I love you, Jim Carrey.
No, I was going to say this before I say my last one. I knew Jim Carrey was with the shits when I watched him, I think on Ace Ventura, when he came out that rhino's ass.
Classic.
I know he was with the shits. Shout out to Jim Carrey. Okay. So, my last one is Prince of Egypt. Came out 1998, based in Egypt, of course. Now, this is a cartoon, but I loved this movie. This was a movie that I could watch with my mom. Like, it really brought, like, the black family together in my eyes. And, you know, my mama told me, like, you know, this is the story of Moses. And honestly, that back then, that's what made me interested to read about Moses' story, because it's like how they did that movie, the graphics, like the sound effects, the special effects. It was just such a powerful movie, you know what I'm saying, for kids to watch and everything. But looking at it now, the message that I get behind it, you know, is that I kind of tie it to everyday life. Like, we grow up with people, you know what I'm saying, because he grew up with them, you know what I'm saying. That was Moses' brother, you know, Ramesses, one who became the Pharaoh. And it's like you grow up with people, and you think because you've known them a long time that they're always going to be your friend, your brother, or your sister, but people really grow up and go down different paths. And it's like Moses got called to, like, a different calling. You know, he had to go back to Egypt to tell the person that he grew up with, hey, you need to let my people go. And it's sad because it's like when you care about somebody, you don't want to go against them. But it's like it just shows, like, people can grow up and really grow apart, and somebody that you used to care about has to become your enemy. But very, very powerful movie. The jug is deep, right? So, that's
because, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, that kind of reminds me. That kind of reminds me of Mufasa and Scar. That kind of reminds me of how their relationship was as brothers, you know what I'm saying? Because Mufasa loved me, you know what I'm saying? But, like, I feel like Scar, you know, Scar was just that, you know, he was just a hater. He was a hating-ass person, you know what I'm saying? And a hateful person can get you killed, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Point fucking blank, you know what I'm saying? So, but, yeah.
When you said he was a hating-ass person, I was just thinking, you know what I mean? If hating-ass person was a person, and they had his fucking face on there.
And they had his face on it. Somebody need to make that real quick.
Oh, shit.
But, that's definitely, that was a good one. Damn. Let me see, because I got
that's
a shit ton
one.
Of them. That's a toughie. My last one is going to be this movie called Camp Nowhere.
I never heard that one.
Okay, so Camp Nowhere was basically about these kids who basically went to summer camps that they did not really fuck with like that. You know what I'm saying? They thought it was terrible. So basically, these group of kids came up with a plan to basically, you know, have fun for once for a summer. You know what I'm saying? So they basically bribed this ex-teacher who was also a character played by Christopher Lloyd. He basically got bribed to pose as a counselor for a fake camp, and they pretty much rented out a campground where the kids was basically able to you know, have their summer, you know, the way they wanted to have it. You know what I'm saying? And, like, they went fucking bonkers. You know what I'm saying? And it was, like, as a kid, like, it was so admiring to, you know, to see kids with such creativity and, right. like, be able to get away with that shit for a minute until, like, parents wanted to come and visit them at their at their campsites or whatever. And it was crazy because, like, once the shit started hitting the fan, like, they pretty much thought with the quickness. So everybody that was supposed to be at the expected camps or whatever, they did some fucking Mission Impossible type of shit. So, like, for example, one of the kids was supposed to go to computer camp or whatever. So they would stage it to where it looked like an actual computer camp, you know what I'm saying, from the outside on in. And then, like, you know, like, if another kid had, like, military or some shit like that, they would, you know, once that computer family leaves, they basically, you know, remodeled the whole campground, you know, to make it look like a military, you know, themed camp or whatever. Like, the shit, they did it so swiftly. It was like, how? Like, you could tell the shit is scripted because ain't no kids our age going to be trying to think quick like that. We gonna be panicking because the moment shit fuck up, we getting our ass beat. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how we think. But but now, yeah, looking at it now, like, you know, I kind of feel the same way in a sense, you know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like the teacher was a real one. Like, even mm-hmm. though, like, he got bribed for some money to do that shit, like, he still kind of, like, cared to be like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to get something out of this, too. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to hang out with these kids. But at the same time, it looked a little suspect because you're the only grown-ass man and adult around all these kids. It kind of didn't sit right with me a little bit. Now that I'm looking at that, at the end of the day, like, it was a childhood dream to actually kind of be able to get away with some shit like that or, you know what I'm saying, just escape from the norm and just actually, you know, dabble into, like, just being free. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they mm-hmm. like they had a lake and shit like that. Like, they had water fights, you know what I'm saying? Like, they cooked and everything like that, even though that shit looked gross as hell. But, you know what I'm saying? They were doing their own independent, like, shit. You know what I'm saying? With no adult supervision, which mm-hmm. back in the day seemed cool as hell. You know what I'm saying? Without having a parent tell you what to do and shit like that. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah, that part. Yeah, I miss those days. Well, shit, actually, I'm living in those days now, but shit got harder.
But yeah, shit, like, it's better when you a kid and you ain't got no responsibilities. You can do that shit now and be like, wait, did I pay my rent yesterday?
Exactly. I didn't overdraft
my account. Like, I got an extra $500 in my account. Like, damn, did they take out the card note yet?
Exactly, yep, that part. Like, what did I miss? What bill did I miss, yep?
Right,
we
like
always
something,
check
right.
So we get some play money. Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
play money be too much money when you got bills.
Who you telling? Well, that was a good topic. I'm definitely gonna change the title. I'm so sorry. That was my fault. I be fucking up. Players fuck up. But
that's
we
all
gonna segue
good.
Right
still
in.
Still leave that black people.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We still have some movies that's welcome in the black community. It's cool.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to segue right into shout-outs and appreciations. What you got this week, DC?
Well, first and foremost, we're going to shout-out Self Love as My Rehab. This has been a platform that keeps me level-headed, and, you know, it teaches me to love myself every single day. Shout out to God. Without him, it wouldn't be possible. Shout out to you, Complex, for bringing me on and allowing me to be myself and allowing me to find myself every single day. Shout out to Dynamic Culture Apparel. I got a little snippet coming out for the girls. In about 2 to 3 weeks, I'll be posting a picture. I'll be posting a picture at the time just to let y'all see what's coming in store for y'all. And then right after that release, then I'll be dropping something for the men. So everybody, you know, stay keep your eyes open on it, you know what I'm saying? And in order to have updates for that, follow me on IG at dynamic_culture_apparel. And you can follow me on Facebook as well, just up under Dynamic Culture Apparel. And I need to, so my apologies to you, Job. Shout out to you for allowing Self Love Is My Rehab to exist on this platform. It's a
yes.
dope platform, and we really appreciate you being on it, or allowing us mm-hmm. to be on it, and you too. I mean,
yes.
shit, without you, it wouldn't have been possible. But shout out to Ace the Face, you know what I'm saying? My Philly friend, shout out to him. You know what I'm saying? He's doing big things over there as well.
Shout out.
Yep. Yeah, and shout out to Positive Vibes. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the people with negative vibes as well. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, we still love you. We're just waiting for you to catch up, Mustard.
Yes, that part. I'm going to say shout out to Self Love Is My Rehab too, because yesterday was like very heavy, but honestly, we needed this little freestyle one. Yeah, we did another freestyle episode full of laughs. I feel a lot better. Thanks, DC. Shout out to God. Without him, there is no me. You know, I wouldn't be understanding who I am. You know, without him, I've been praying more, and my eyes have been opening up to some things. Some things are very kind of like, ooh, I don't know if I was ready for that, but it's still a beautiful thing to, like, you know, just keep finding different parts of you as you peel back layers and layers of conditioned trauma. Shout out to Jobs. I'm so glad that, you know, you're back better, you know. So glad that, you know, you back from out the hospital. So sorry about your loss with your mom. I can definitely identify what it's like to lose a parent. And I'm here for you, but thank you for also giving us this platform to get on here. Shout out to my book, No Apologies, for starting this platform. I just want to let you people know out there that the next book, I actually have a date, October 18th. Uh-oh. It will be finally dropping. Yes. And I got a – yes, thank you. I got a special gift coming for those who pre-order. Got that in the making. And, yeah, shout out to Queens with Vibes and Visions. You know what I'm saying? That's helping me to do yeah. more research and open my eyes to more things. So, yeah, and, shout out to Opinions and Assholes, and a podcast about nothing. That is a new one that y'all got to go check out. But, yeah, we all out here. We in this thing. Y'all can find me at Complex_Angel90. I don't give out my social media enough. I'm sorry. But, yeah, so that's my shout outs and appreciations. DC. Are you ready to get your mind stimulated?
Let's stimulate that mind, Kareem.
All right. So this one is a little heavy. I'm sorry. But it says, I got you. What teacher inspired you growing up? And do you think if you got that same support in all areas of your life, that you would be a different person today?
Well, to answer the first question, I don't have a teacher that inspired me because of my upbringing in school.
Okay.
I didn't really have a, how can I say it? I didn't have a mouthpiece to speak, you know, therefore to get to know any of my teachers like that. You know what I'm saying? So,
gotcha.
I basically didn't have no teachers. I taught myself everything
okay.
that I know today. But I mean, kind of that's kind of a hard one for me to answer. But I mean,
can you think of anybody who inspired you growing up?
Well, excuse me. I mean, I kind of look for inspiration in movies, honestly. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
when you don't have like reality to
yeah.
look up to, you kind of look at the fantasy world. But that can be dangerous too, because, you know, you live in such a fantasy world in your head, but in our reality, you know, it ain't the same.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of put it in perspective, it wasn't a good way to be inspired, you know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
when you look at all the different genre of movies, you know what I'm saying, it unlocks different types of emotions, you know what I'm saying? Whether there's horror films or romance or, you know what I'm saying, suspense and everything like that. And, you know, considering I want to say most of the black films out there, you know what I'm saying, like they didn't necessarily teach you
anything, so to speak. Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
And I mean, yeah, and I say most because, you know, you have some out there that, you know, that do teach you, you know, the definition or the ideal definition of love and, you know, like betrayals and everything like that. Or, you know, even like motivational sport movies and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. Like, I never really grasped that, you know what I'm saying, from that,
mm-hmm.
from that standpoint of view.
Okay. Well, the reason why I asked this question is because, like, my mind was just, like, really rambling. I don't know how I got teachers out of it, but I just started thinking, and I thought back to this teacher that I had back in, like, seventh grade. She wasn't a teacher. She was a substitute, but it was a permanent substitute because our teacher went on maternity leave. Her name was Miss Brown. And every day at the beginning of class, she will always start your class off by saying, someone your age, my age, died last night, did not get a chance to open their beautiful eyes and see today. And, you know, basically it was like she would have us stand up and give each other a compliment. Because she was like, a lot of you do not compliment each other, you get what I'm saying, in this world. A lot of people are not told that they're beautiful. And I thought that that was very powerful. Very powerful, because it's like, you know, it was a teacher that took the time out to put the school shit aside and just bring in, like, you know, personal things that we have. Because as kids, it was hard for us to push shit to the back, you know what I'm saying,
sure.
and focus on work. I know it was for me, what I was dealing with at home. So that's somebody who inspired me. And I think that if I had that same support in all areas of my life, you know what I'm saying, I think that I would have found my voice way, you know, longer, like way before now. I would have had more confidence, you know what I'm saying, to do things that I wanted to do back then. And, you know what I'm saying, I probably wouldn't have dealt with a lot of fuckboys growing up. But, yeah. So that was my take on the stimulate your mind question. So, DC. Can you please end us out with the dynamic quote of the week?
For sure, for sure. We're going to get right into this real quick. Now, the dynamic culture quote for the week is, grapes must be crushed to make wine. Diamonds form under pressure. Olives are pressed to release oil. So whenever you feel crushed under pressure, pressed, or in darkness, you're in a powerful place of transformation. Just trust the process. So, in other words, you know what I'm saying? Like, just have faith. Have faith in your path. Have faith in your journey. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, God got you. You know what I'm saying? Like, we never know the timelines of the struggles that we go through. You know, we just have to maintain strength and positivity and hope for a better future, you know what I'm saying, with yourself, with someone else, for a family, for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep hope alive and just keep the process going. You know, standing still ain't making no progress at the end
of the day.
You know what I'm saying? So keep pushing forward, keep processing, keep progressing, you know what I'm saying? Stand still ain't gonna get you nowhere. And that's the dynamic quote for this evening. And we're going to close it out with that. So peace and love.
Peace and love.
And we out.
All right.